To be in your presence this morning and to be reminded that you left the riches of your home and glory to come and to live and to die so that we might live again. For that we are grateful and we praise you. This morning we're reminded again that there are so many who yet do not know you are the reason that you did come to this world. And as we enter into this Christmas season, we pray for strength, wisdom, humility, and a heart that's sensitive to a lost world, that we might be able to find our place in your service, so that all may know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For it's in his name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Almost 40 years ago, there was a graduate of Asbury College who had a vision for a mission agency that would take men and women and young people like you and take them to the far corners of the earth and bring them back again so that they might have the opportunity to experience firsthand what God is doing in the world and the needs of this world. That man was Reverend Dr. Maurice Stevens, and he founded an organization known as Go International. This year, Burt Jones stepped in as president of that organization, only the third person to do so in those almost 40 years. After he graduated from Asbury College, Burt worked for a short time with us at Go International. He went on to plant a church. He went on to do evangelism. He served as an administrative assistant to another graduate of Asbury College, Dr. David Stevens, at the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And since coming to Go International, he's brought us a great passion for a lost world, a great passion for church planting, and most of all, a tremendous passion and vision for our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you the president of Go International, the Reverend Burt Jones. Would you welcome him?
If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and we'll begin reading down in verse 31 and then on through verse 5. Of chapter 12. Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 31. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and he took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. I think it's interesting this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. It happens to be one of my favorite passages of Scripture. The key to this story is not that they set out, but the last part in verse 5 is that they arrived. You see, there are a lot of people today in our world who set out to do something for God. They hear a call from God and God's spoken to them and they want to do something great for God and they set out to do it, but they never arrive at accomplishing what God has called them to do. And so consequently, they waste a great deal of their lives setting out but never getting or never arriving to the place that God had called them to. It was D.L. Moody who said one time, "No one can sum up all of God is able to do or to accomplish through one solitary life who yielded, wholly yielded, adjusted, and is obedient to Him." And I think in many ways that describes the character and the story I want to talk about this morning, whose name was Abram, later to become Abraham. It's an interesting story because as I read this passage of Scripture that I read to you a few moments ago, there's one word that appears twice in this story that I think gives us a glimpse into understanding this story in its entirety and understanding what a life of faith is and walking by faith and serving God with all of our heart and making a difference and not just setting out to do something, but arriving at our destination. It may be an interesting word. Maybe you didn't catch it. It's been years that I've read and studied this passage of Scripture, but it's one word. It's a simple word, had. H-A-D. Apparently that doesn't excite you, but that really excited me because God really spoke to me through this one word, had. Let's take a look at just a few things that we understand in this story as we begin to uncover and unpack this passage of Scripture. First of all, with this word had, we notice that God had already spoken to Abraham. In chapter 12, in verses 1 and 4, we have this word used, God, and the Lord had said to Abram. There's a great deal of debate among commentaries and people who study the Scriptures on whether this was an initial call or this is a reminder of the call. But I think that God had already spoken to Abraham back in the land of Ur before he ever called him out. And this is a reminder of God's call upon Abram. In fact, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, we find that Stephen confirms this idea when he says this. Stephen speaking, he said, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to you, our father Abraham, while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran." God had spoken to Abram. In fact, Abram himself testifies in Genesis chapter 24, verse 7, he says this, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, who spoke to me in my native land." God had spoken to Abram. What an experience to hear God speak. What a privilege to hear God speak. But what a responsibility when we hear God speak. You see, there are a lot of people today who want God to speak to them. And we pray, "God, direct me, and God, would you speak to me, and would you show me what you want to do?" And maybe you even came into chapel this morning thinking and been praying, asking God to show you something or God to speak to you. And I'll remind you of something this morning. God doesn't continually speak to us until we've been obedient to what he's already spoken to us about. The Bible says that God had spoken to Abraham. Notice number two in this word had, that Abraham had obeyed. Abram had obeyed. God spoke to him in verse 1 and had spoken to him when he was back in the land of Ur. And we know as we read verse 31 that immediately together they set out from the land of Ur. And we don't know how God spoke. The story doesn't tell us, but Scripture time and time again, both in Genesis 15 and Nehemiah chapter 7 and on, describe for us, and again in Acts chapter 7, that God had spoke to him, and when God spoke to him, he stepped out and he began to follow God, and Abram had obeyed. And so the Scripture, some translations say he set out, and some translations say he went forth, and others say he began to follow, and whatever the translation you're reading, it doesn't matter. God had spoken to Abraham, and Abraham had obeyed. He'd begun the process of obeying. In fact, in original sightings, you begin to look at this passage of Scripture, it looks like this is a complete obedience. It's a sighting of a complete obedience of someone who heard God speak. Abram had heard God speak, and then he'd stepped out immediately and began to follow. We implaud that. In Acts chapter 7, once again, Stephen speaks. He says, "God said, go to the land I will show you." In verse 4, it says, "So he left the land of the Chaldeans." Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and particularly in the verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abram, when he was called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going." That's an amazing understanding of Scripture. God speaks to an individual and immediately steps out. Where are we going? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'll show you where you're going to go. God hadn't revealed to him everything, but Abraham steps out in obedience. And I begin to think for a few seconds, wow, that's incredible. Here's an individual who had heard God speak and immediately stepped out in obedience. And I want to applaud an individual like that, because that is an amazing story. And oh, I pray that we would step out immediately as those early disciples did. When God called them, they immediately obeyed and stepped out and they followed God. But notice number three. God had spoken. Abraham had obeyed. But Abram had never made it to his intended destination. Abram had never made it to his intended destination. In verse 31, together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, the scripture says. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And I think we have in this verse a tremendous insight to those of us who desire to follow God. We've heard God speak and we've stepped out and we've begun to obey God. But it's not how we set out, it's that we arrive into our destination and do what God has called us to do and to fulfill His will. Because while it seems and appears like a sighting of complete obedience, upon further investigation of this passage of Scripture, we discover that it's not complete obedience. What had God said to Abram? As you look at the passage of Scripture, three things Abram was to leave. Abram was to leave his country. Abram was to leave his people. Abram was to leave his father's house. And so what does Abram do? He leaves the country. He leaves the people, but he gathers up his father's house, and they begin to make a journey to this land of Canaan that God had spoken to him about and the destination that they had intended on hitting. The problem is, it was not complete obedience. God didn't say, take your family with you. He said, leave your family, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. You see, Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 tells us that Abram's father was an idol worshiper. Kind of interesting to think that Father Abraham, his father, was an idol worshiper. And in fact, he worshiped Sin, the moon god in Ur. And so as they leave, we find as we begin to study the land of Ur, that Ur was a very prosperous place and people lived in great wealth. And so as they stepped out to leave their home and their belongings and all those kind of things, they journeyed about 550 miles northwest and they came to Haran, and so it was much like the land of Ur, very prosperous, an enormous trade route that went through there. And many people came who had great wealth, and it too was prosperous. And interestingly enough, the name Haran simply means crossroads or a delay. And that's interesting because that's exactly what happened in Haran that day. Abram and his father's household, they go and they come and they may have stopped for a few moments or a day's journey after a 550-mile journey and they stop. And here's the problem. If you get out your map and you begin to look at the land of Ur, and the best trade route to Canaan was the way they went. It wasn't the fastest way, but the fastest way would have been through the desert. And so they go up through the trade route and they settle into Haran. And I imagine that maybe Abram's father begins to speak, this is so much like home. This is the way it used to be. And look, some of the same gods and some of the same things that we worship. It's comfortable here. They have some of the same things that we had back in Ur. Let's just stay here. And the pressure of Father Abraham's father begins to push down the pressure. And so they decide, oh, let's just stay for a little bit. We'll settle for just a little bit of time. And a little bit becomes longer and longer and longer. They settled at the halfway point to the promised land. How many of you went home for Thanksgiving? I don't know if you're like me, but we traveled about 550 miles this year to go to North Carolina to be with my wife's family. And we got in the vehicle on Wednesday and we loaded up and we began to set out on our journey and had not only a destination in mind, but I had this idea of Thanksgiving dinner, turkey with all the trimmings and everything that was going to go with it. Man, that's what my focus was. But at the same time, even though we were thinking about our destination of making it to North Carolina and having a great Thanksgiving meal, I got hungry on Wednesday too. And so we stopped about halfway point at a Wendy's. Now, we walked in and I got to tell you, the food wasn't bad. But there wasn't one person in my family who said, "Hey, Dad, this is great. Let's stay here. Let's not go to North Carolina. Let's skip out on Thanksgiving and let's just settle on here. Because, you know, we can supersize things for just 39 cents more. Or we can eat here tomorrow. We can have beef today. And tomorrow we can have chicken. And then we can have spicy chicken for lunch." And no one ever said that. Why? Because although Wendy's wasn't a bad meal, it wasn't our final destination. And man, I'd hate it to make that phone call and said, "Hey, listen, we were going to come. We were on our way. We got halfway. And we stopped at a Wendy's and it was so good. We decided to stay here for Thanksgiving." No one would ever do that. That's absurd. It's ridiculous. And yet that's what Abram did. God had called him to go to the promised land and said, "If you go, I'll bless you." And all these wonderful things were happening. But he got to the halfway point and settled. Many of us today reach Haran and yet fall short of Canaan. They're not far from the kingdom of God, and yet they never step foot in it. We're living today in a culture of Christians who hear from God and heed halfway. We get halfway and we stop and we are aggressive and we're excited about the call of God in our lives. God's spoken to us and we've begun to obey, and yet other things begin to happen. You see, it's one thing to have a promise from God as Abraham did, but we'll never see the full promise if we're not making progress on that calling. Abram got to Haran and settled. Well, it's an interesting story because I think there's four things that I want to share with you this morning quickly as we look at this story. Four things that happen to us when we only go halfway. Number one is we waste a lot of precious time. And in chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible tells us that Abram's now 75 years of age. And we don't really know how long they stayed in Haran, although we know they must have stayed a great deal of time. Because if they hadn't stayed there a great deal of time, they would have never been able to acquire all the people and possessions that they had when they left there. So it was a great deal of time that they spent there, maybe years, so long that Abram's father seems to be in good health and they stay there until he eventually dies there in Haran. But all the time, no matter how long they stayed, it doesn't matter if it's a week or a year or 10 years or 25 years, it doesn't matter. The amount of time that they stayed there was wasted time, lost time that they couldn't regain in pursuing the promise of God. Today, if God has spoken to you and you've stepped out to follow Him, but you've not made it or not making progress in your calling that God has given you, I want to tell you something. You're marking and wasting time. Notice number two. Not only did they lose precious time, but they were weighed down with the treasures that they had laid up. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." We're supposed to lay up our treasures in heaven, but because they went halfway, and it's such a flourishing city and amazing prosperity in the city, they decided to stay there. And the longer they stayed there, the more stuff that they got, and the more that they had, the more that weighed them down. And so that the day when Abram said, "Listen, we've got to leave. We've got to go on to the promised land. We've got to follow God and do exactly what God called us to do." Someone spoke up and said, "Hey, but look at all this stuff. How are we going to move all this stuff that we gathered while we were here in Haran? We got a lot more people than when we showed up with. We got a lot more stuff than when we showed up." And if you're not careful, listen to me. If you're not careful, young people, when we hear from God, if we don't stay on the track, we'll start weighing ourselves down with things and never able to fulfill God's call. "Well, I was going to go be a missionary. I was going to go do this, but we decided to get married first, and then we decided to have children first, and then on and on and on, and we never make it to our destination. We set out, we obeyed, but we never reached our intended destination." That's why the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 1, chapter 12, same faith chapter, Let's lay aside all the weights, the things that slow us down, and the sins that beset us. They lost precious time. They were weighed down with the treasures that they had laid up. Notice number three, they blocked the blessing of God. They blocked the blessing. God had told them in Genesis chapter 12, he outlines it. I don't have time to go into it today. But he begins to lay out for them, I'll bless you and I'll bless the nations where you go. And I'll bless those that bless you. And to all the ends of the earth, you'll be blessed. But there's no blessings that take place. Why? Because they only got halfway. They stepped out in faith. They were going to do it. They were going to make it to the promised land. They stepped out, but they never arrived because they settled in Haran. And so while God wants to pour out his blessings, the blessing is blocked by disobedience. Say, disobedience, he stepped out. But partial obedience is still disobedience. When God calls us, as he did Abram, when we step out and we begin to go, God wants us to keep on going until we've reached our intended destination. They lost precious time. They were weighed down by the treasures that they had laid up. They blocked the blessing from coming. And notice number four, they settled for less than a deeper experience. See, the Bible tells us in verse 1 of chapter 12 that God had spoken to Abram. Verse 4 also tells us the same thing. God had spoken to Abram in the land of Ur. And there's a lot of people who are content just knowing that God has spoken to me. And I had this call on my life, and God has spoken to me. And yet God has more he wants to say to us. God has more he wants us to do in our life. God has more he wants us to lay down on the altar of sacrifice and to submit to him. But a lot of us are just content. At one time in my life, I heard God speak. And so Abram settles in Haran until God comes again and reminds him of his call. And so once again, verse 5 tells us that they set out, but this time they arrived, and when they arrived, verse 7 tells us that the Lord appeared to Abram. Isn't it amazing to have settled for just an experience where God had spoken to you way back in the former days and miss out on God showing up in person to give you direction? But we settle for having heard rather than heeding and following God's will. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, time goes, and a new generation has once again been challenged to go and to go into the land of promise. It's interesting, it's the same scenario, it's the same problem, but the descendants of Abram this time versus Abram. And it says in chapter 6, chapter 1, these are the words of Moses that spoke to all of Israel in the desert east of Jordan. And goes to begin to describe that Moses is now ready to communicate and to speak all that God had spoken to him. And he's going to remind and pass on to the children of Israel. And then verse 6 says this, then the Lord God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed here long enough. Break camp and advance. Break camp and advance. Same story. Same scenario. Similar group of people. They had heard God speak. They had stepped out of the bondages of Egypt. But they had never made it to their destination. And they found a place and they settled there. And then Moses reminds the people, listen, this is what God said. You've dwelt here long enough. You've settled here long enough. Now it's time to get moving again. Because we've not reached our intended destination. And so then he gives them this rallying call. He says, it's time to break camp and advance. And here's what I want to ask you this morning. How many of you can identify with the life of Abram? You heard God speak to you. Maybe that's the reason why you're here at Asbury College, is because you have a call from God. God called you into some particular area of service. You stepped out. In fact, if you hadn't stepped out, you wouldn't be here today. And so you heard God speak and you stepped out, but you've begun to settle. In fact, you're not sure how strong the destination looks because you're enjoying all the pleasures and the possessions and things that you're inquiring and all those things that you're enjoying right now. And here's what I believe God's saying to us today. It's time to break camp and to advance. Because God said he wanted to bless the entire nations. He wanted the world to hear the message of salvation. God wants the world to know. I wonder this morning as we begin to sing, as we begin to open up this altar this morning, if there's some of you here today who say, you know what? God has spoken to me. I've started out to obey, but I want to break camp today and advance and commit my life and surrender today to say, God, I'll go with you all the way, not halfway, but all the way. Will you stand with me this morning? If God's speaking to your heart and you want to pray that kind of prayer this morning, as they begin to sing, would you come and kneel at this altar this morning? Let me remind you this morning that the enemy's not bothered if you settle out and you start out. What bothers him is when you make a full-fledged commitment. I'm not going halfway. I'm going all the way. And that is my prayer for you this morning. As God calls, you'll begin to obey and you'll follow him all the way. There may be some who want to gather around and pray for these who are kneeling, and I invite you to do that. I want to have a closing word of prayer, and then you're dismissed. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. Lord, I pray for these who are kneeling here, and Lord, for whatever you're speaking to them about, Lord, I pray you'd minister to them. And God, I pray that you would teach us from this simple passage of Scripture. We're not just to hear you speak and to start out obeying, but Lord, you want us to arrive at our intended destination. So God, give us determination. Give us a passion. Give us a purpose. We give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.